heaven for my God. Real rap, man, this isn't a facade. I'm committed to the cause, man, I'm driven like a car. This life I'm living was given to me at a price, and the price was paid by Christ who gave. This life was getting stay in the grave after a 3-day delay. Christ was raised. If you on this side of truth, then I advise you to die to you.
Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, so much for this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for just the chance to come together, Lord, as your children, Father, in your name. And Lord, we just come right now before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray right now over this time, Lord God, that we would come together, Father. We pray, Lord God, for just the free flow of your Spirit in this place. Lord, we leave every concern, every care, Lord, every thought, everything that we may be anxious or concerned about at the side, Lord God. And we just invite, Lord, you to take lordship over every situation, over everything, Lord, that might be on our mind, Father, or in our heart, Lord. And Lord, right now, we just receive the rest in the Spirit that you give, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. You've given us your peace. And so we just receive that peace into our hearts right now, Lord, as we move forward. And Father, right now I just get out of the way and I just invite the free flow of your Spirit, Father, that the teacher that's on the inside, Lord, your Holy Spirit, that you would speak and lead and guide this time. And so, Lord, I decrease and move out of the way, and I just invite you to have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Amen. Alright, so we finished a series last time. So every time between series, we open up a Q&A as well. Anything from the last series, though?
Which we haven't been updating ourselves.
I came for the last run, but not.
Well, we have a very mobile group. I mean, like, we have, it's like every week's some people here, some people gone, some people here, some people gone. So I think that's partly why it's really good that we have it online as well. But see, we're always, the thing that's interesting is that the head of the body of Christ is always still speaking to his people at any given time. And what's cool is when he's speaking, we're all receiving a similar message from the head at a given time. And we're all kind of going through this. So the body moves together as directed by the Holy Spirit. So at large, we receive also the large instruction, but then there's also specific assignments that each of us gets within that that helps accomplish that bigger thing. So it's kind of cool because, like, I was listening to a friend of mine who was publishing in the States recently, and the same time, like, I had preached a week ago on Friday, and similar scriptures, similar things that God was saying, similar stuff. And you know, and it was just really interesting to me, again, yet another confirmation of just the way that the Holy Spirit will speak to and through his people. I mean, for myself, I didn't choose this. You know, it's something that God said, alright, if you're going to follow me, this is part of it for you. And so, you know, figuring out that along the way and saying, okay, God, how does this work? That's part of it, because that's part of following him. And part of following him is, you know, whatever. Lord, whatever you say goes. If you say, you know, be a janitor, great. If you say, be a CEO, fantastic. If you say, be a musician. If you say, be a hermit. You know, whatever. It does not matter. So it's just saying, as long as I get to walk and be with you. So this is part of it for me, and this is part of it for several people that I know really well that do similar stuff. But it's interesting and it's also really confirming and just like reassuring in your heart when you see the message that the Spirit of God speaks through his servants. But also, it's interesting because then you see the sharp divide between that and the institution, the religious institution that's separate from the Spirit of God. And what they have to do is, it's constantly topical sermons, you know, here's 3 points and a conclusion, be a good person, pay your taxes, all that kind of, just like basically like be a good citizen and, play your part in society. But it's nothing about what the need is of your heart and of your soul at the time. So, it's fun too, but then also you realize, we are the minority. We always will be the minority, and it's okay. That's part of the way that it is. So, so last series aside, sounds like we sealed that one up pretty good. Other questions, concerns, things you've been reading recently?
Okay, one of my friends.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with the. The last. He had been coming to my place for quite some time, and the house is half done, and we are stuck without being able to complete it. And then he came one day recently, and he was just like walking around the house, and then he told us, like the whole family, when we open our main door, there's a hallway, and then you get a huge window which you can walk out of, right? This is the ground floor. He said, according to the way you make houses and all that, you shouldn't have this kind of thing. When that money comes in, it's going out from the other side. So you have to close that one or just put a wall in the middle. And basically, like, he went on about these things. So you have to break this wall and make that wall and then things.
Feng Shui.
Yeah.
So
is there anything in it to it, or I just brushed it aside? I didn't.
Okay, on a natural level, there's definitely something to architecture and design. I mean, you can walk into some place and you can have the same amount of square foot floor, but one place has a really low ceiling and one place has a high ceiling. One place you feel really cramped in, another place you feel relaxed in. So it's like there's definitely something to design as far as like, something that is aesthetically pleasing. There's a lot of things that there's a lot of research that people have done as far as things along the lines of colors, where certain colors will be energizing, certain colors will be soothing, certain colors will help you sleep better, other colors will be really good if you're going to go work or something like that. So, so there is definitely those elements. Feng Shui or like something along, I think, the lines of what your friend's talking about, this isn't really...
is there a spiritual truth to it?
Well, there is a spiritual aspect in a lot of this stuff as well. See, this is one of these challenges between, like yoga is another one, or like there's things that have an effect, and people say they have an effect, they know they have an effect. Okay, now how do you, as a follower of Christ, also navigate through these things that... how do you separate what is good and what's a good principle from what has spiritual components and demonic attachments to it? Because it does. See, what's happened is a lot of times... they will, again, this is organized religion, they will throw the baby out with the bathwater in the process of saying, say yoga, okay, just by the name. Yoga is evil, okay, because it's whatever. So, I'm never going to stretch again. It's like, well, no, stretching is good. Stretching is it's like, and if you called it by another name, would it be the same thing? So it's the inability to discern and to say, okay, what about this? Now, with something like that, if you have a concern about it, this is, again, what's cool about walking with Christ. You can ask Him. And, you can ask Him. And you can tell her.
Oh.
Somebody beat him up.
Yeah. Well, next Monday. Next Monday will be fine. Okay. I knew that question was going to come. Okay. So it's being able to distinguish between what is... See, here there's an interesting book I'm reading right now as well by a guy who's an African witch doctor, Bishop Kanko. And when God saved him and brought him out of witchcraft, part of the reason what God did in instructing him when he saved him was, he said, look, I want you to tell everybody what is going on and how this other side, what they're doing and how this works. Because the stuff that he saw and the stuff that he was part of, I mean, he was part of human sacrifice and all kinds of other things, the things that the levels that he was in and indoctrinated into, like, very, very rarely will anybody ever get brought out of that from those things that they've seen. Because if they try to leave, the devil will just kill them off. So God saved him and protected him and brought him out in a way so that he could also make known a lot of these things. But even part of the book that I'm reading with his stuff, as he said, you know, like even with some of the rituals that they'll do, like with mourning the dead, you know, they will borrow people's clothes, you know, and as they're attracting demonic spirits towards them, and then when they give the clothes back to people, it'll have spiritual attachments on them, so the spirits will go and be transferred to these people. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on at any given time when it comes down to the level and the dimension of spirit. So we need to have a spiritual sensitivity, because here's you can also get trapped. See, for example, say you you will somebody says, okay, you do, if you, oh, I saw this thing in the States, for example. There's, because this whole housing crisis is going on in America, right? And there's this guy who's selling these little statues of I think Joseph or something, but it's like these little statues to yeah, exactly, to bury in their houses. And he's convinced that, you know, now what's happening there is...
Well, why do they bury? Taking one.
Because if they say that, okay, if they...
Joseph is in charge of...
The patron saint of houses. Okay, now, but what they're saying is, okay, if you bury that statue upside down, that you will... you will, it'll help you sell your house quickly. Now, okay, look at it this way. If you are, think of it like on the demon side, right? If you now, on the demonic side, somebody begins to do some things with idols, and they start to do some things to open themselves up to it, and if you help that person to sell their house, or to move forward in that, now, and then now they open themselves up for a spiritual inroad through that idol.
Yeah.
And so now, all of a sudden now, so people that are just so desperate, in a desperate situation, to get out of something, they're like, look, I'll try anything. Well, here's a little idol, you know, and just, here's a chant, here's an incantation for you to say. And now... you get the result that you want. So, one thing that this witch doctor was talking about, former witch doctor, he just said, you know, what will happen with the demons is that they will, when they do human sacrifice, one thing, they'll get somebody to bring their own, either a family member, or a brother, or a sister, or a very close friend, or something like that, for the human sacrifice. And when they do that, the demons then will vomit up money for these people, but so they'll get money as a result of the sacrifice that they make. But then also, by doing that whole thing, they've opened up their life to the service of that, and to the inroads of that demonic power now to come in and out of their life, and they'll end up serving that thing pretty much the whole way through their life, unless there's an intervention by Christ Jesus, unless he breaks the power of that over their life, they're pretty much enslaved to that demon.
In Tamil talking, you hear stories that the demon asks for blood or something.
Yeah, like yeah. And it's the same thing all over the world. See, that's the thing that's interesting. Then you contrast Africa to South Asia, to India, to Sri Lanka. It's the same demons. It's the same devils. It's the same requirements that they want. It just has a slightly different face on it, but it's the same stuff. So it's the thing is that, okay, One, for freedom, Christ has set us free. So we make a deliberate decision in Christ to walk with the Spirit of God, leading and guiding us. And what's interesting about that walk is that He will constantly be, if you're in tune with Him and connected to Him, He'll say, do this, don't do that. He'll put a caution in your spirit. You'll walk into a place and you'll be like, I feel really just not right being here. And because the Spirit of God doesn't want you there. Or sometimes He'll put you in the middle of a situation that's like really dark, but He wants His light to be there. But all of it is contingent on Him and the Spirit of God leading and directing you. And when we get out of place, when we get out of position with Him, that's when we're now in a position where we are in the danger zone. We are in a spot where now, because the devil is constantly looking for access. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. So he's looking for access to the soul of a person, but it takes the free will of a person opening themselves up. That's why sex and sexuality is so powerful. It's a very, very powerful way for demonic forces to get inroads into a person's life. And that's why the only safe way for that is inside the covenant of marriage, blessed by God. I mean, that's it. Anything outside of that just opens up a person's life, and then they're like, well, why am I depressed? Why am I angry? Why am I feeling my self-esteem's crap? Why is all this stuff happening to me? Because nobody ever told them what you see on the movies is not what's true. You know, life goes on afterwards, and you're now all of a sudden opened up, and you have no more safeguard there. So, but it can happen in so many different ways. People get inroads. And a lot of things that happen to people that are not, they didn't do it themselves. Somebody else set them up like that. So abuse is a classic one, when people get abused. Different kinds of trauma that take place as well. So you just start going down this list, and then you're like, whoa. I mean, like, how many different ways that the setup is there to seek to access the soul of a person. And then you realize, well, it's only Christ Jesus that can, one, save you, and two, heal you, and seal you back up, and then lead and guide you through this whole thing so that you'll be able to come through the other side overcoming and not falling prey to the whole system. Because the whole system is set up like that. So you realize that you are outnumbered, but then in Christ you have every power over all of this stuff, and you don't need the numbers. And you have the whole host of heaven anyways behind you, but it's like you have a strength and an empowering by the Spirit of God that trumps everything that comes your way. But you do need to listen to Him. You know, it is this walk with Him where He leads and directs and guides. So, but with something like that too, back to the whole feng shui thing. Well, you know, if there's something that goes in the line of, hey, this would be a nice design for a house or whatever, cool, architecture, great. But, you know, with the spiritual side of it, you know, pray and check and ask God.
Okay. I just didn't want to go with it. But
yeah.
The thing is, I don't want to do it now that it has been planted in my mind. I don't want to do it, and I'm scared then after I do it, if it turns around. Because what he said is, you do that in your house, you will finish the building of the house like this. Because you have been now waiting and waiting for your money to finish it, and you have been able to do it. So, in the event I do what he's saying, and then if I get the money, then, you know, you're always in doubt.
Well, but also with that, be a little bit cautious as well. Because, I mean, it's like, okay, fine, great advice. But leave that on the side, and just go back to God and say, you know, Lord, what do you say about this? Because here's something that happens too. A Satanist will say, the sun rises in the east, you know. And I'm a follower of Christ, and I say, hey, the sun rises in the east. Well, oh, Govinda said the sun rises in the east. He must be a Satanist. No, I mean, it's, you know, just because, see, this is again that whole thing of being able to discern and distinguish and separate where something's coming from, what is true and not true, what is a falsehood, what is something that you can run with and you can go with, and this is great, versus something that is, you know, dangerous and has a spiritual aspect to it. Because here's something else too. The things that we do as followers of Christ have spirit on them. The things that I do as a follower of Christ, as a servant of God, I have the Spirit of God in me. So when, if I do something in connection with the Spirit of God, there's a residue of the Spirit of God on that that carries and connects with people. So that's why when, it's amazing, like people will write, for example, from the website, and somebody will listen to an audio that was done 3 months ago. But because the Spirit of God is timeless, it'll speak to exactly the situation that's going on in the life and in the heart of that person there, then, while they're listening to it, and it'll minister to them because it's not time bound. Whereas, so there's a spiritual residue, and that Spirit of God sets people free as well. So there's that aspect of it too, which is really cool when you're like walking with Him. So we can like also like David and Goliath. You know, you take Goliath's sword, you know, David goes out there and then he knocks down the giant and then he takes his own sword and chops his head off with it. So many times too, what ends up happening is we end up taking things that were, you know, in the hands of the world, and but God puts it into our hands as we're moving forward and walking in victory with Him, and we take the very same things and we turn it around and do destruction to the kingdom of the enemy with it. So, when we did the radio show, you know, that was an example of that, where all of a sudden God opened the door for us to have a 3-hour broadcast in this country and play our own stuff. And it was like, I mean, there were people, you know, calling up. There were people that were talking afterwards. There was all kinds of stuff that was going on around that. It was a spiritual residue around the show. And even when we were going in there, we would pray before we start and all of that, because there was a lot of spiritual attack that would take place while we were starting. So it's just to say that it's like you live in a world where again, two kingdoms. You have the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. You have the power of God, and you have the enemy of our souls. So just allow for what you do to be directed by the Spirit of God. But for me also, I'm learning to to pick up on principles that are good principles, that are scriptural principles, that are something that is, there's nothing wrong with the principle in and of itself, and being able to discern, you know, even if maybe the source may be a bit jacked, but being able to pull out the truth that's in there and be able to discern that. So at verses, because see, here's another thing too. You can take a minister of Satan and he can have the scriptures, and he can be reading just the Bible straight, but because the spirit behind it is evil, that spirit is sown into the hearts and the lives of other people. So they can be preaching from the same Bible, saying the same exact words, but it has the spirit behind it is wrong, is antichrist, and that spirit will affect. So you look for the dimension past the natural. You look for, go back a little bit deeper to where is the source of this and where is it coming from. So, but yeah, I mean, just you know, it's like, hey, if somebody gave a good idea about, this might be a nice place to put a wall, hey, I never thought about that like that. But pray about it, you know, and just ask God, you know, what do you say? But yeah, don't you know, just allow, I mean, I keep going back to this thing, just allow Him to lead and direct. And He will. You know, with anything and everything, He will make things clear as you trust and as you follow Him. So it's like, and if He wants you to stay out of something, He'll show you. If He wants you to get into something, He'll show you. I can't tell you how many different times I've thought about doing a business venture or something like that, and somehow God will keep me out of it. And not because on the paper and on the natural, everything looks great. It looks like a fantastic thing to do. But God knows the hearts and the intentions and the motives of those that would try to get into work with you. And because where they're coming from is not based in Him, and it's not something that, you know, maybe you make $50 million, but the problem is that it's a trap to keep your soul bound into one spot where you become ineffective and out of commission, and you're stuck now into something that God didn't want you to be in. You know, that money doesn't mean anything. It's not blessed by Him. What you do and where you're involved needs to be where the Spirit of God has you to be. And then so it's like, and then you just wait for something that He does bless. In the meantime, you just connect with the Spirit of God where you are and allow Him to show you this day. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You're not worried about tomorrow. The needs will always be taken care of by the Father for those that trust Him. So, excuse me. Bit of a long answer, but... Okay. Praise God. Anything else, though? Along, no more.
Okay. Just asking, but history of the Bible. I still want to learn the history of the Bible.
Okay, history of the Bible. I will. Oh, there's a timeline. Yeah, beautiful. Go for it. That was it. There's books that are like this thick, and then there's like pamphlets that are like this thick.
That is it. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. There's a nice timeline.
And
I'll give you the off the top of my head thing that I can remember. Okay. The Bible is what constitutes the scriptures. 66 different books written by 40 different authors over a 1500 year period of time. So everybody from kings to slaves. All aspects, all different backgrounds. You're okay. Were God used to put together the scriptures, and so with all of it, you see, and how it all fits together, you see the orchestration of the Spirit of God over that period of time in creating and putting this thing together. Three different languages: Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek. And as far as today, there's more. The scriptures were like there's more validation for the authenticity of the Bible than for any work by far. So if you talk about the Iliad and the Odyssey or Homer's classics or any of those things. Or just different pieces of literature that we have in the past. I mean, there's maybe like 200, 300, 400 copies max. With the Bible, there's over 20,000 copies in existence between the Latin Vulgate, the Greek, and the Hebraic text. And so with those, so like 10,000, 5,000, 5,000, like that. With each of those as well, with the copies, so what you end up having is, if there's ever a point where there may be like any deviation or whatever, they call that a variant. So sometimes, you know, you see in scriptures, you see like a little, you know, A, and then down at the bottom it'll say some texts say this. That'll be like, if there was a variation between any of the copies at all, that'll be mentioned there.
So put the scripts together.
So
people just keep adding.
For example, you had the old covenant or the old testament. Yeah, like the first five books. What's the name of it? The Pentateuch. But those are like the first five books of the Old Testament were what. Jews utilized. I mean, this was their. This was like their core. And then you had the prophetic books. So starting with, I have to go back and look. 16 different prophetic books in like Isaiah, Daniel, and those ones. So each section of the Bible has like a different. It has a different four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Synoptic Gospels, and then so three of them are very similar, and then John is a little bit different. But they all, again, cross section of the same story. So, basically, with all of it, it is a spiritual book. in that unless somebody has the Spirit of God leading them through it, it'll seem like, I mean, God has to open a person's eyes to see it. But if you have the Spirit of God leading you through it, what happens is the whole thing will connect you together. So you'll be reading it and it'll be like, oh wow, I just read this in Isaiah, it connects to something I read in Matthew. Oh, I just read this in Matthew, it connects to something that I saw in the Psalms. Oh wow, and you just start to see God's hand and God's orchestration with it. There are, for example, the Book of Enoch. It's, you know, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, this one was not put in the Bible yet, it's quoted in the Scriptures. Jude refers to the Book of Enoch. In fact, it's one that I have here. I didn't have it here with me today. But the Book of Enoch is, in the Book of Jude, it refers to, you know, Enoch talks about, here, let's just, he quotes it. Let's see here. Let's see, in the Book of Jude, Jude verse 14 says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Okay, so this is a reference to something that was unavailable at the time when they canonized the Scriptures. So the Book of Enoch, when it was held by the early church in the same level of regard as like the Book of Revelation, but when the time came to canonize the Scriptures, they didn't have copies of it. But there had been some copies preserved in the Ethiopic and Ethiopia, I think like 26 or something like that, but they just didn't have them at the time. So now in the last couple hundred years, where people start saying, well, wait a second, what happened to this book? And they start searching for it, they start looking for it. And so that's what's really interesting about the Bible even now, is like the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, the Book of Isaiah. So when scriptures when they had wore out using, you know, because they'd unroll them and everything, and they'd get pretty beat up over, you know, just like a Bible, somebody's reading it a lot, it gets beat up. So they wouldn't burn them when they were done using them. What they would do is they'd bury them. And so, like, the Dead Sea Scrolls is something where a shepherd was out, you know, and the sheep fell into some place, and to try to go get the sheep out, he ended up finding one of these buried jars with some of the Book of Isaiah in it. So when they found this, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, they just... they checked it and they're looking at it, and it's just remarkably just consistent with everything they already have.
And then some of that.
Switch. So it's remarkably consistent.
You can reduce it. Why didn't you come here, Audrey? You said to
So, yeah, but when it comes to Scripture, basically, here's the main thing to know with that, is that one, God orchestrated. Even the fact that there are, you know, wicked men involved with it as well, hey, God used evil men to accomplish His purposes as well. Just like He used Pharaoh to get glory out of Pharaoh's life because his heart was hard, God used all kinds of people. So ultimately, the Bible that you have, now you do need to use some caution, because again, the enemy, part of what he does is works to give disinformation. So a lot of scriptures, like modern day, the Spirit of God will quicken you and be like, wait, I mean, you'll receive something out of it, but I've had so many different versions, and I'm like, of the Bible, and some of them don't say the same thing. You know, so it's like some of them have taken huge liberties with the original text. That because I when I was in part of my studies was learning, you know, Greek and things like that, so that And then when you start looking at it, you're like, whoa, wait a second, some of these don't say the same thing, you know? Because with Bible translations, you have three different types. You have a literal, you have a dynamic equivalent, and then you have a, what's they call, a free translation. A literal will try to take one word at a time, word by word, and give you an exact word representation of the last word. A dynamic equivalent will try to take like a phrase and try to give you in modern day language and thought something that would give you as close a meaning as possible to what the original person meant. And like a free translation is something where it's just like, okay, as simplified as possible so that like an 8-year-old could understand it.
So, King James Version is a
literal translation. Actually, I am thoroughly persuaded now about the King James Version that it's, I mean, I know that they've done all kinds of other studies about other stuff, but, and I study these other ones as well, but, if I just had to pick one Bible for myself, I would go with the King James.
NIV would be dynamic.
NIV would be a dynamic equivalent as well. Yeah. I just like the old King. That's just me. But you know, even there.
Your preference. You're good by.
No, but the main thing though is anytime you're going to read the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit to open them up so that you can understand them. And even there, for so long I studied in the NIV. For so long, I studied with the New Living Translation. There's a number of different ones that I used, and God spoke to me in so many of them. But kind of where I'm at right now is like, okay, if I'm going to read,
I find that and this has a lot of differences.
Yeah.
Because that there are certain phrases missing in this.
I know.
Speak.
I know.
When you read it, then you don't like there are in between phrases which are missing.
Yeah, and there were some things that. That was part of why I made a switch was like when sometimes I would, you know, do study and I'm like, well, where is this? You know, this is missing. You know, this is not here. And I'm like, and this is important. It's not something that, you know, you just, yeah. So.
You could just keep up like that.
Yeah.
But what Natasha says, you have seen that one, the life application Bible.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all of these different ones. The main thing is, it's just you ask God if He speaks.
If you can understand sometimes. Here things you like. Okay.
No, you know what? Again, same thing like the house issue. Just ask God. You know, it's like help you pick something. And you know, and the thing is too, like it's not that I only read in the King James. Like sometimes I will read in some other ones that are more plain and simple English. And, you know, another decent one it's also like the Amplified. You know, where they take a word, and if it has several possible, because for example, the Greek is a very rich language. So, like in English, you'd say, "Okay, I love cake, and I love, you know, my friend." You know, there's a different kind of love. Hopefully, that you have for cake as compared to what you have for your friend. So, yeah. So with the Greek, you know, what they'll try to do is with some of those translations. Like the Amplified, they'll try to take it in and amplify a word that has to bring out more of what that meaning would be in English. So, the main thing with the Bible is if you're going to read it, you have to have the Spirit of God there to help and take you through it. And if you're going to go through it with the Spirit of God, just ask Him to show you. And you know what? God will meet you where you're at right now. So just leave it at that, and He will, as time goes on, just start to show you what you need to see. So, I mean, for me, okay, my personal stand on it is, I think I love the King James Bible and Book of Enoch. That should be, that's, because that explains a ton of stuff as well, that is, you know, and the fact that it was validated in Jude, I think it should be there. So I think those ones, So let me see. Okay. Cool. So should we keep moving, or should we any more? Or is that sufficient? But I think maybe one of these booklets or something like that, just to give you a backup.
It was, kind of an idea. But I give you one.
You know what I'm referring to, right? Why chummy is it to argue against?
Here's something too. Don't get sucked into arguments with people, because unless somebody has.
No, because Shajaran says you don't even know the history of the Bible, and I feel
most used arguments.
It's usually something that's used by people that don't want the truth. And see, it's like
you know, when you talk so much about it, and when you show that you're ignorant about like whatever the subject is, kind of makes you feel like a fool. So.
No, what they bring up is the creation. What about the dinosaurs? Where were they? If they have found this thing, I found that, and the Bible.
Actually, the dinosaurs. See, one thing that happened was before man, there was an angelic rebellion that took place. So when God, there was an original pre-Adam thing going on here. So when the earth was hold on, let me go back to this whole thing. So in verse 2 of Genesis, where it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, this is also part of the
I'm sorry, I missed that part. What did you say?
No, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, when that was a repercussion of the fall of the angels, because there was an angelic rebellion as well that had taken place. So you have all kinds of stuff that's going on during. I mean, this world was amazing before. See, the world has gone through so many different shifts and changes over the course of its existence, and so there was even a satanic Luciferic rebellion where Lucifer convinced a bunch of angels to leave, a third of the angels to follow him into this whole thing and this rebellion against God, and which the Book of Enoch talks about a lot. What happened with them and what they did and how they screwed up the earth and how they twisted everything. So what happened was when you get to Genesis chapter 1, what you have is God, you know, basically setting things right and putting man in place. And then and even when it speaks about a day, a day is one thing, for example, it says that a day to the Lord is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like a day. So, but then also there's the aspect this aspect of basically a day is like a kind of a definitive period of one thing that he's doing. So it's like, okay, here's these sections of where he's doing something specific. So he's creating the fowls of the air and these things. He's going about this thing of separating the water and the land. So each one of those is like a definitive period of something that he's doing. So, I mean, even like with man, you know, man was spoken into existence in the sixth day, but he wasn't actually created until the eighth day. So God speaks man into existence in the sixth day, but in the eighth day, that's when he actually has him formed and made. So these are, 8 is a number of new beginnings. Even like Jesus was raised on the eighth day, you know, it's a new beginning. So that was also symbolic as well, because it was a new beginning for the creation, because of what had happened again with the Luciferic fall and all of these other twistings and turnings of everything. So there's, you know, here's the thing about the Bible. It gives us what we need to get, just like you have an owner's manual for a car. You get what you need to run and operate the car. You know, there's other stuff. It's scriptures say if everything that Jesus did was recorded, the world wouldn't have room for all the books. I mean, it's just like there's so much. But what they gave you was, here's what you need to be able to walk out this life. Here's the basics that will keep you going.
Now, we know that.
Yeah.
But what they're questioning is, this manual, how do you know the authenticity of the manual is what they're asking.
Well, I mean, how deep do they want to go? Do they really want to know the answer? Because, see, the thing is, if they want to know the answer, they're not the first person to ask that question. They're not the genius that came up with, oh, wow, how can you... No, if they want to know the answer, then they have to put it on them and say, look, you go and you try to disprove the authenticity of it. It's not up to you to try to prove the authenticity of it.
But they've read, like, books that disapprove, you know, the authenticity.
Under what grounds?
And then, you know...
See, that's then the question is, you say, under what grounds? And also, again, where's the source? So if somebody wants to compare or contrast scriptures based on records, scriptures by far exceed any other thing there is out there. If they want to go by, I mean, you go down this list of different things that you would want to, that you would use to try to discredit, and under any other grounds, the Bible by far exceeds any other book. I mean, it's incomparable. So when somebody will actually try an argument like that, it's usually because they just don't have a heart for truth. And ultimately, here's the thing too, is scriptures, even scriptures aside, it's the changed life, and it's the Spirit of God in the life of a person that changes and renews and makes a person new. And it's like, that is something that, it's like, you know what, if...
For them to ask you and question you, I don't know, that's how they see it. They must be changing, the change that is in all that.
And they sense it, and there's a resistance and a hostility to it, because if it's true, and on some level they know it is, that they then would have to deal with the reality of that truth. And so they don't want to deal with the reality of that truth. So what they need to try to do is to try to shoot you down. You're not the message, you're just the messenger. You know? So it's like, it's not yours to... See, here's the thing. For me, it's not my job to defend the Bible. The Bible defends itself. The Word of God defends itself. Anybody that has stood against the true Word of God, they've destroyed themselves. Anybody that's ever tried to I mean, it's like, so it's one of those things. It's like, okay, leave it. If somebody has a heart for truth, God will reveal it to them. If they don't have a heart for truth, then, you know, you can try to convince them intellectually is not going to do anything. Because the scriptures, again, Proverbs says, if you answer a fool according to his folly, you'll be like him. If you get into, and I've done that before, I've gotten into stupid arguments with people that have no heart for truth, and in the end, all that it's ended up doing is just, it's not getting anywhere. They don't want, all they want to do is drag you into their thing. Now, if they really want, I love if somebody has a deliberate, you know, search and heart and desire for truth, sure, great, let's talk about it. Because then it's like you're moving somewhere together. You're going through. But if they don't have that heart for it, it's just like...
So just what? Just people try to argue about it, so they just walk away from it? It's,
well,
it doesn't make any sense.
No, I mean, like, okay, scriptures, for example, when Paul was, you know, in certain cities, and there was... And basically when the Pharisees would just really, you know, speak a certain way against everything that he was saying, and they realized that there was no heart for the message, they would shake out their clothes, you know, and their dust of their feet against these guys and just say, look, your blood's on your own head. I'm free of my obligation. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. So what I look for is, I look for people that have a heart for truth. I look for somebody that the Spirit of God is drawing them. And those are somebody that I will invest my time and my energies with, because they are people that... the Spirit of God is worthwhile. It's a worthwhile investment. But if somebody doesn't, yeah, sometimes you do need to take a stand for the sake of people. But that's led by the Spirit, because so if God puts you in the situation and He quickens you with something, because that's happened to me before too, where sometimes for the sake of some other believers that are there, and they're being shouted down by some guy that, you know, he just is got a louder voice or whatever. The Spirit of God will quicken you in that situation to put you in there to speak or say something. He'll give you that. But in the end, it's like, but that again has to be led by him.
And what they keep saying is that we claim that we are such, so that our belief in God is so much and all that, but yet we have more problems than they could ever think of and stuff like that, right?
That is, I think, they do not speak out about it. We speak out about them. We are more open because
they keep saying that the two of us have so much of drama in our life, but you know, them being their religion, whatever, you know, they have nothing. So those are things you don't even argue about, because it's like, you know, you can't explain to them about this.
The return for why we are not married and why we shouldn't be looking for a Christian. Well, you know, now it's your age, you know, so get married.
And then if you try to explain, it's very difficult because you can't connect in that level.
No,
it's like two different levels, so why bother?
Half the time,
he's Mughal Ali. Well, here's one thing too. Okay, if you are serving the world, and you are part and parcel of the world system, it loves you as its own. Jesus talked about this. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you are a servant and a follower of the truth, if you are a child of God, if you're a lamb of God, and you're walking out this life with the Spirit of God, guaranteed you're going to have trouble. And that's you embrace Christ, walking out this journey with him, and you're not reluctant for the trouble that you face, because in the trouble that you face, you're walking it out with him. These other people, what happens, see, many of them have sold their soul for success and comfort in the world at different levels, and they've got that. So what the world has done for a period of time.
It doesn't
last. It's a window that they get, but they get a window of time where, because they've exchanged their soul, they'll get like this break. The demons will
leave. Or somebody else in, they will get a break where they have no problems at all in their lives.
Yeah. And so the world will, as a good little slave, make sure that they're good and taken care of, because they're part and parcel of the system. And so they get their little wives or their little husbands, and they play their part, and they go to their office, and they're a good little cog in the wheel.
And it is no more than
and things as well.
Yeah. No, but in the world, they'll have their run around the track. They get their 15 minutes of fame. But when that is up, then here comes now the time to give up your soul. And it's already taken. They've already sold it. And then, because of that, the reason that we get attacked is because you are in possession of your soul in Christ Jesus. You are walking out life with him. So you are a target, because you haven't given it up. And so the world is like, no, give it up, or we're going to just make your life...
something.
Yeah. Do we have something?
And they always take an example of the fallen person, you know, as in, you know, there's this Christian woman who's like so devoted, and then, you know, her baby was born deformed, and after that, you know, she doesn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, would that happen to her, you know, when she was so much...
Well, no, take Jesus. Why not? Here's the Son of God, and he gets crucified and abandoned. I mean, God, isn't this your son? Why would you send him into the world to be born in a manger? I mean, this is the King of Kings. How is it that you're going to have him stuck in a stable to start out his life? Don't you care about your son, God? I mean, think about it. I mean, it's like, how many different lines? If you can't see in the dimension of spirit, you will think and see in the dimension of the world. And the world, and the way that it sees and the way that it thinks, is completely carnal. It can't see. It's blind. It cannot see the actual reality of what's really going on.
And for them to see, they have to have their own minds open.
And that's the prayer for them. Lord God, please open up their minds. Please open up their hearts. Take the blinders off so that they can actually see. Because it says, the scriptures say that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the truth. They can't see. It's like this veil is over their mind. They walk around in this fog. And so for them, they think it's like somebody with terminal cancer that thinks they're okay because they're walking around and they're, you know, they they don't feel it.
I think when people tell you things like that, but something that you can always say, I can have all these things, but I have happiness in my heart. That I can say.
Yeah.
Whatever problems I have, I still have happiness in my heart. I don't get pulled down by all these things. I'm still fighting. I stand strong.
And wait till the trials of life really come. See, that's where you'll also see the divider. Because Jesus talked about the man whose house is built on the sand versus the man whose house is built on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. Wait until the trial of life comes that hits you both, and see how you respond and how they respond.
What happens is that you feel guilty because you're not really defending your God and your Father, and you know, you kind of feel helpless sometimes because we really don't have facts as such, like tell them, no, this is it. But it's not about facts. I think it's also about belief, and if they don't have it and if they don't have their eyes open, they're not going to see
it
at that point.
Well, there definitely is a need to study, to show yourself approved, to be like the Bereans, you know, who are more noble character than the Thessalonians, because they diligently studied the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. There is a need, in as much as possible, to do diligence to the Word of God, and to do that, because again, like the Holy Spirit reminds, so He will remind and quicken you, and bring things back to you. That, but you know, the good thing to do is have put it in there once. So
it says in the scripture also to equip yourself and put the armor on.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so there is an element that we need to take responsibility unto ourselves to do that. And see, this is again one place where I have plenty of issue with organized religion, but one place where it's like you just see how absolutely spiritually impoverished people are. People will go there for 15 years and know nothing, and so then they come out and they're, you know, a good little Protestant or a good little Pentecostal or a good little Catholic or whatever it is, but they know nothing. They've been fed milk and kept on milk, and you know, they're just spiritually anemic. And so when it comes time where, okay, now let's ask you a couple questions about, and they just have nothing. They have no substance whatsoever to their faith and to their, I'm constantly amazed at how many times I meet people that are much, much older than me, and how, but yet in the spirit it's like, you know, yeah, where have you been? What have you been doing? And so the Spirit of God, you know, in James it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. If you lack wisdom in a particular area, all you do is ask God. You say, God, I don't know. I struggle with teach me your word. Open up, give me wisdom in your word. Give me wisdom in life. Give me wisdom in discerning where other people are coming from. If there's some place that you're lacking, ask God. He teaches you. He's happy to teach you those things. And then you just ask Him and receive it from Him. But so with something like this as well, probably part of the reason why you're feeling this is because, again, too, the Spirit of God is drawing you into a deliberate preparation of your heart and your mind for down the line. Because you probably will be brought into situations where, I mean, there is many times where we will end up having to be a witness and testify for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And so for me, it's like, I realize, okay, that's part and parcel of this. But also too, I look for where is the heart of those that are I'm about to engage with here. If somebody's heart is for truth, it's a whole different level than if somebody is just needs a witness of here's what the truth is that you've rejected. And so those are two different things. But you know what? Honestly, if somebody really wants, because okay, there's a great I think it's called a book by Lee Strobel called A Case for Christ, but he's an investigative reporter, and his whole thing was he saw his wife starting to, you know, follow Christ, and he was wondering what's all this about. And he was an investigative reporter that his whole purpose was to disprove the Bible. And he didn't know Christ when he started this whole project. And basically, as he went in as an investigative reporter with all that background, he was an award-winning guy too, in the process of trying to disprove the Bible and disprove Christ, he ended up finding the truth and basically just said, look, this case is irrefutable and all the evidence points towards Jesus having risen from the dead and all the things that he did, all of that stuff, it's there. So that's why, I mean, that might be actually, I know parts about this book, but I've just heard from some friends that this is a good one along these lines for if you're talking about that one in particular with some of those friends. But if people really, here's what I know too, if somebody wants the truth, they'll find it. The Spirit of God will meet them there. If they don't want the truth, then they will live in darkness and they'll live in a lie. Because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to strong delusion so that they will believe the lie and so be damned. So it's like you can pray for people. I mean, we've prayed for people that God would open up their hearts and their eyes to see. And that's really, I think, where we have to make a deliberate decision is to pray for people. So even the people that are that God would open their eyes, because He has to draw them. He has to open their eyes. Because right now they're in the grip of darkness. They can't see. So if they can't see, it's like a blind man saying, how do you know there's light? I can't see nothing. It's like,
you know, my dad's family is like, they're very strong Buddhists, and they used to really like not approve of my father getting married to my mom and the whole thing. And recently, like about 2 years ago, something happened in our family, and you know, they went everywhere to temples and, you know, COVID, whatever they could, and nothing happened. And my mom, I think, nobody said anything, but they just started praying to God, and actually their prayers were answered within a period of time. And now, I mean, it's like we didn't have to convince them, but automatically, like, they've been convinced, and now they talk to us about God and, you know, about their faith and stuff like that. So sometimes, like, certain things happen where you don't have to sometimes really go out of the way.
You just pray and wait.
My mom said it took like about 30 years for this to happen, because since they've been married, right? Yeah. Because this has been going on, and they've been like putting our religion down and like our God down.
Oh, I have friends I was praying for like 14 years before they came to Christ. I have friends that like just, but it's like, you know, you fight for people. God puts them in your heart. You fight for them. But the thing is that your fight is not with them. Your fight is not with flesh and blood. It's with powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Your fight is with that which seeks to steal and rob and kill and destroy, that which seeks to enslave their soul and to steal their soul. So that is your fight. And so it's like when you pray for people, you pray for them that God would open their eyes and that they would see and that they would at least have one chance to hear and know the true gospel and to make a decision with that. Because if somebody really sees Christ for who He is, I mean, it's like, and if you're in your right mind, if you have any sense whatsoever in your heart, in your mind, you can't turn away from Him. I mean, it's like that, and you want that because you realize that's the answer. That's the answer for all of this stuff. That's the answer for the hole that's in everybody's heart. Now, the children of the enemy, the children of the devil, they will turn away, you know, because that's what they're destined to. But my hope is just that everybody gets one chance to hear an accurate message of the gospel. And that's why, like, even on the site, you know, we just have that one thing where it just says, hear the good news, or the good news. Because it's just one clear, and it's like set up as a link so people can email it to other friends, just because it's like, here's one chance, just, you know, 10 minutes, this is it. You know, this is the good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there's a way out. You know, you can be set free, you can be saved, you can know God. It's like, fantastic. You know, you don't have to live in darkness anymore. Isn't that nice to know? It's like, you mean I can be forgiven of every stupid thing I ever did? Great. You know, fantastic. I love it. So, I think we're today was a Q&A. It's totally cool.
And the other thing is, when people do gang up and talk, like it happens to me in office as well, they talk, you know, what is this, you, what you have done.
Make fun of you, right? And it,
yeah, like it happens, but I mean, like she says, you have to pray about it. The other thing is, they are talking because they see something in you.
Exactly.
There's something different in you from what you are doing to what you are now.
Yeah.
So then they are now wondering whether, I don't know if they like what has changed in me or they don't like it or what, I don't know, but they are now inquisitive about what they see.
And so why, that, how come suddenly it's changed?
Right. So your work where Christ is concerned is being done at that time, because you are drawing people to you to hear about something that has changed in your life, which is Christ.
A lot of times actually just you being there is enough. Just you being in the situation is enough, because the very fact that you're there and the Spirit of God is in you and the presence of God is there, it affects the environment. It affects the situation. And many times, I think God just wants you there. And it can be anything from just a smile to one word you might say, just to a touch on the shoulder. That changes something in the situation. So it's not this... intellectually let me now persuade your mind and convince you on the level of your mind and your soul. No, it's the Spirit of God in you that will draw. And when it does, and when it works in the hearts of other people, just allow for God to do that. And what He'll do is He will create opportunity. I mean, it's like for me so often now what happens is I don't really have to go looking for much. So much just comes as I just walk with life, with Christ, and I just walk. All right, He says go left, I go left. He says go right, I go right. And as I just go through life, it's like everything just is kind of there in my path as I'm walking. So it's not something where I'm like, okay, I don't really have to. I mean, it's just there. And so I just, the main thing is as long as I can keep in tune with the Spirit of God. Where then when I'm in a situation now, okay, here's what God's response is for me in this. Like, here's what I'm supposed to do. Here's what I'm not supposed to do. And He'll show you that. So even then too, there's times where it's like, look, you know, it doesn't want you to say anything. And Jesus standing before Pilate. He's like, Pilate's like, what, you're not going to answer me? It's like Jesus is like, look, He didn't need to. Jesus, he standing before the Sanhedrin as well, and with these Pharisees and everybody, and they're like, the high priest is like, look, I adjure you by the living God, you tell us, are you the Son of God? And He's like, yeah, it's as you say. I mean, it's like Jesus was deliberate about when He... Every time, Jesus never spoke one word in vain. Every word He ever spoke was deliberate and in connection with the Spirit of God. So, and there's times where He didn't say anything. So it's okay. So even then, it's like, because again, don't throw your pearls before swine, or they will turn and rend you. They'll trample them under feet and turn and rend you. There are people that... So that's why too, even with the study that we have, I'm not trying to have 1,000 people here. We could easily start broadcasting and make it, try to get as many people in the room and get a bigger place and all that. No, I would much rather have a few people that really have a heart for truth and want that than to try to create a big show in another place and do, because we've all seen that, we all know that. But I would, because again, it's like it's not my. If unless there's a heart for it, people won't receive it, and they just, it's like it's wasted. Yeah, I've kind of come to a stage right now where I don't want to waste my efforts, my energies, my time, because I don't have a ton of time in this world. None of us do. So it's like I would rather skip what men would approve, skip what man would say, oh, that's great, that's successful, let's skip that, and just say, God, what is it that you're directing? Because, and leave the results are in his care. It's in his hands. So, but yeah, just when you're in situations, just be still, know that he's God, and listen to that still small voice inside of you. And he will many times give you something. And you know what's interesting? I mean, sometimes too, like, you know, God will shift into the prophetic, or he will do something with you. This is where, again, when the gifts are activated in you, where, you know, like I remember, okay, one time I was in India, and I was speaking at a service, and then all of a sudden I was looking at this one lady, and God just like gave me all of this stuff about what was going on with her, with her son, with her family, and like just different things about the situation that was going on with her. And so then I just started speaking that while I was in the middle of preaching the sermon, and her eyes got all big, and then she started crying, and all, because there it's like, okay, there's no more debate now. You know, there's no more debate. There's no more. I mean, it's just like that. I've never met you before. I don't know you from Adam. Complete stranger to me, but the Spirit of God knows you. And because the Spirit of God knows you, he also knows exactly what's going on in your life and in your heart right now. And he wants you to know that, one, he's completely aware and mindful of it. And as you turn it over to him, two, he's in control of it and he will take care of it. And it's just like, ha. You can walk away from something like that knowing, thank you, Lord, you are in control. So that's another thing too, and this is where also it's like, I see that we're also with the body of Christ globally shifting now into a time where we will have much more with the encounter with the power and the Spirit and the presence of God going into those situations to basically answer all questions and all debates quickly, you know. And that's one way where it's like, okay, you know, you go into a situation and God raises somebody from the dead. There's no more question, you know, there's no more debate. You know, it's like, here it is, here's the power of God that's now been manifest in your presence, you know, and deal with it. You know, see, that's the thing, is like, even when you talk about friends in your office, they don't want to deal with the reality of, if this truth is there and real, how that now they must respond to it. But that's a good place to be in, actually, because they have to be wrestling with this for a while. So let that happen. Just let that be like a burr under their saddle, just digging in. But just keep them in prayer and allow the Spirit of God to draw them. But yeah, you'll be a point of attack. You know, something interesting too is Acts 16 is sometimes the very same people that were giving you lashes earlier in the day will be the same ones washing your wounds at night. You know, so it's like, that's why too, you know, with the jailer there. I mean, it's just like, that's why too, it's important how you allow yourself to respond and how you let the Spirit of God respond through you, so that you don't burn the bridge to the very same people that God will turn around and, you know, and because of something that happened or whatever. So just, you know, let God direct your responses. And that's why, again, it's important to seek to remain in a state of prayer, so that so once you've finished your praying, you know, stay in a state of prayer and state of connection, so that you can hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying, so that your responses are his responses in situations. Because even then, you know, sometimes he'll give you a hard word to say to somebody, but that'll be exactly what they need. I mean, I've had that, where it's just like, you know, I've had that, been on the receiving and the giving end, both, where it's like somebody's given me a hard word, but it was from the Spirit of God, and it's just like, it had a positive effect and I appreciated it. And likewise, I know I'm given some. So, you know, even then, it's like, let God do that. He'll stir that in you. So at all of these situations, it's just, I keep learning more and more, it's just keeping that connection and walking out life with that connection. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So just walking it out like that. Wow. Long. Okay, so we'll stop there. And next week, we will then begin our new series. No. Questions are fine. Because the thing is, ultimately, this has to be
I guess like a lot of things that we need to clear out as yeah. well, because there's no point going on without knowing the basic things.
Yeah. Well, I'll do a little material search. But I think, too, there's a lot of good stuff online.
The
timeline you have?
Which one has?
Yeah. I don't know, it talks about Constantine and all that, but the timeline is what happened right now. And the latter part of it, who were the rulers of Rome, is also that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a historical study too.
Just about
oh.
Oh, really? I somehow missed
what? With 313 AD? And
you don't get caught too much.
And after that, because I just ignore the. I somehow get out of it, like, you know, because I don't want to be an argument.
But we got caught to it one day.
It became like a really ugly fight, and it was like.
But after that,
she had called up Ruchira. It was called in Ruchira for
supporting us.
Yeah. But Ruchira is the one who came. She's the Buddhist who has gone to a Christian school. Yeah. Actually, I mean, she's Buddhist, but she's
one
open
thing
to.
I try not to raise my voice at whatever.
Good man.
Gets out of line at one point.
We usually try, but that particular day we all like, up here with it.
You forget, listen to yourself when you shout.
That's
no,
true.
No, but the thing is, Damita, sometimes people have this thing that they need to control your life.
No, the thing is.
What do you mean sometimes? You're very
awesome. If you listen to what they say, they start saying one thing, but they end up saying something else to negate the first thing that they started saying. So they have actually.
Like, all started with the fact that you were single. That's
for
what
me,
happened.
Okay,
right?
The funniest thing was, okay, she's saying, you know, the Bible is wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. I've read a book, okay. I mean, she's disapproving one book after reading another book.
Both have been written by.
I have read so much. I am very well knowledged on everything.
Both have been written by people, but only thing that the people who wrote the Bible were led by the Holy Spirit. So the people who wrote something else is not. We know that because they have read the Bible, so they should read the Bible also first.
And they believe, like. Something to the effect, what? Da Vinci Code.
I was like, lots of them who are against the Bible are like so
thrilled. You should be happy because the other side really wants you because you're on this side too so much.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and the thing is too, is there are other books that as well have demonic spirits attached to them that are under a curse. And it's like if people want and they're open to that. See, here's the thing. If you reject truth, you now embrace the lie. I mean, it's just by default. If you reject truth, you are running full steam towards the lie to embrace that. And when you embrace it, you can embrace it in one of a thousand different manifestations, but your life is still based on a lie. And so when people have to deal with the reality of, wait a second, my life, they don't want to, that shook. So your very presence and the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Truth in you shakes that reality that, wait a second, everything that I've done, my last 20 years of existence and belief is all based on a lie. I have no truth in me. They don't want to deal with that. Because
sometimes they don't even see that they're living a lie. You know, they're so engrossed in it and they're lost in it.
Well, just wait until crisis comes. That will test the. I mean, that's when the fire comes, it tests the quality of every man's work. So that's the thing, too. What's going to happen now around the world is around the world, you're going to see major, major shakeups economically, environmentally, politically, wars, all of this stuff. And every one of these manifestations globally will basically be fire coming on the lives of people. And that's when you will find out, okay, let's see you call out to your Da Vinci Code to save you. I mean, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved.
So funny.
I know, it's absurd. Yeah, it's absurd. You bank your life on illusions that you were able to embrace during a soft, cushy period in your life because you sold your soul. Alright, fine. You got that. Now life comes to the crunch. Now you're gonna have to, let's see you deal now that you're actually having to deal with the realities of life in this world. See, the other thing too is Lucifer, he hates all humanity. He hates every person. So even his goal is to rob, steal, kill and destroy. So his thing is too is like with even people that sell their souls, he doesn't want to give them a long time on the track. You know, the average age of a rock star is 33 years. They don't live very long. But what they do is they just shuffle them off they just cart the body off and put another one up there.
I don't want to say that because they bring up the fact that Jesus was 33 when he died.
Yeah. No, but Jesus, the thing with Jesus, the thing with Jesus is he said, I lay down my life. I choose to lay it down and I take it back up again. It was his choice. Nobody, he says, nobody takes it from me. And so there is, you know, he made that deliberate decision and that choice. What happens with them is they're trying to save their lives in this world. They sell their soul, and then as soon as they've sucked out everything that they can from these guys, they kill them. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. You're of no value whatsoever. They've got your soul. They've got everything.
Just
and as soon as they harvest every last bit of natural ability they can get out of you, and you've played your part and you've been a very good cog in the wheel, okay, now they're done with you. Why do you think these rock stars are still on stage trying to ham it up as much as they can? If they stop moving, they'll kill them. Rolling Stones have to keep rolling. If they stop rolling, they'll get killed. there's nothing left for them. What else is left for them? What else can they... I mean, they've played their role. They're just hoping for one more day before they get tossed into the oven. No, God saves his people. God liberates. He brings his people out. And so when he does, just since you've been set free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians. You're set free, walk with Christ. And there is a need to do some equipping, but that's also part of the progression. Let the Spirit of God lead and guide you. He'll show you. I have friends sending me books, sending me information. For me, I'm constantly studying. I'm constantly allowing the Spirit of God to equip me in areas where I could learn more, I could know more. But all that is for purpose.
Sometimes things appear just at once, at a glance will come up.
He'll bring it back to you. Because then too, it's not you that's speaking, it's the Spirit of God in you that's speaking. So, yeah, it's not ours to argue this stuff on a natural level. We are witnesses of the truth, we are witnesses of the true gospel, and the truth is bigger than all of that. So, you know, I'm just the messenger, I'm not the message. So, I just carry the message. But it's like, if they got a problem with the message, you know, that's their problem. They have to deal with it. And see, that's just it. People don't want to deal with it. So they want to discredit and kill you. So, okay. So let it be. But you got to get past the angels God's put to take charge over me too. You can't. I mean, so it's like, even then, see, here's the thing too. If the world had its way, it would have killed all of us off a long time ago. But it can't. We're here for as long as God has us here, according to his plan and purpose. So, it's cool. And when his time is finished, that's when we move on. So, okay, let's close up.
The Great Commission says make disciples of all nations. Have we even made them in our own nation? Come on, Christians. Missions exist because worship doesn't. People don't worship the God that made them. We ambassadors. Let's go!